Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Good Sunday to you, and it's great to be with you virtually here. Man, I just want to say this seems like things are changing every day here during this season. And as a church, we're just thrilled that the government has finally realized that churches are essential. What a blessing that is. We obviously knew it all along, right? And God knows it, but now the government too. And we are excited for that opportunity and all the kind of changes and opportunities this brings up. And that being said, you know, we're going to open when we're ready. And a lot of that is going to depend on our ability to conduct and change some of the ways we do operations here. So we're going to be establishing those things, finding those best practices, procedures that keep us in line with the government's regulations and kind of recommendations for reopening. So we're going to be working on all of that. And you can definitely contribute and help out during that process. If you're able, if you're not a part of perhaps a vulnerable population, and willing, we'd love your assistance in getting the church in a position to reopen. Once we've achieved all those goals, those procedures, all that, then we're going to be thrilled to open up the doors and have Sunday services here again, and hopefully soon. So stay tuned for updates on that, and feel free to reach out to Pastor John or Wayne to get involved. Furthermore, I just want to say, you know, thank you to those who have generously contributed during this season in your tithes and offerings. It is going to great use during this season. While we're not meeting together, there's much work going on in the church and in the ministry of God here. And so we thank you and bless you for your continuation of those. I will say the online messages posted every Sunday are going to continue for the foreseeable future. We'll have those even as we reopen. Those will still be available to many of you online, to all of you online, and we encourage you to still listen to those messages. Also, we'll still be doing our online small groups. The Wild Men will still be doing Monday nights. And all the other small groups and Bible studies that are going on digitally will still be happening. So continue to look forward to those. And hey, it's still not too late to get plugged in. So hopefully we'll see you there. Again, you could reach out to myself, Reed. You could reach out to Pastor Andrew, Pastor John to get plugged into any of those. That being said, hey, let's quiet our hearts. I'm going to do it myself. Let's worship and just come together. I just want to say we're going to be singing today, Kings and Kingdoms will bow down, every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Amen. With that being said, let's worship.
Chain break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Open up. Open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain. When sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion. Amen to that. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across these hallelujahs, be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I God of mercy, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May that suffering stretch across the skies. These hallelujahs be one king, just one crown, could rule and reign here till the darkness has bowed down. So hear your people as we pray, and humbly seek your face. We seek your face. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives are yours. We gladly lay them in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven, fills the earth. By this great divine and make us whole. A royal priesthood for your fame, a people called by your great name, by your great name. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives are yours. We gladly lay them in your hands. Send revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven, fills the earth. Thank you.
He's glad to be where I go. He's glad to be where I go. He's glad to be where in my soul. I got. He's glad to be where I go. He's glad to be where I go. He's glad to be where in my soul.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back. Today is Sunday, May 31st, the last day of May. It is great to be back with you. This is Pastor Andrew, and I am listening to a brand new album that came out last week from Josh Garrels, one of my favorite artists, Josh Garrels. And this particular album is perfect for what we have been working through on this journey, the COVID-19 across the world and across the nation. Especially, we have worked through so much anxiety and so many different emotions. This entire album is called Peace to All Who Enter Here. Peace to All Who Enter Here. Josh Garrels just came out last week. A lot of great hymns, if you're familiar with the hymns of the faith. And it just came out. Hope you can enjoy it. And once again, it is great to have you with us this morning. And focusing, I've had a busy couple of weeks focusing inwardly as well. And this morning, this is called Could We Say, God, It's Yours? And focusing on letting go. This is also part of our God, You've Got Our Attention series here in the quarantine, because He has our attention. And there's been a lot of pain in life. A lot of times we do a good job putting on a mask, cruising through life. And until you get the opportunity to share your life or get to know another person, you always think that everybody else has it better than you. The reality is that there's pain everywhere. One of the elements of pain that we're talking about today is relational pain. And a lot of our message today comes through personal experience, things that I've been working through. And my question to start things off is, how is it that other people hurt you and you end up hurting other people? From an early age, when you're hanging around with a brother or a sister, we're always picking on one another, it would seem. It seems so natural and real. As the father of four kids, when they were young, they were in the prime category of whacking at each other and hitting each other and talking about each other. We could be in the car, you know, remember this one? Dad, she's touching me. Remember the touching one? Or, I'm not touching you. She did too. She's lying. I remember that. I look in the rearview mirror and my daughter's like, you know, wrapped around my son's head going, I'm not touching you. As a dad, you probably be laughing, but you have to bring some recollection to this. And remember, the key thing was reconciliation, or this was going to drive you crazy. The kids had learned long ago that the troublemakers sit behind dad. You can't do anything as a dad unless you learn a backstroke move to get at them, you know, grab their legs and try to swat at them. What do parents do? Parents say, okay, you guys, if I have to pull over this car, we're going to have a little family discussion. Just apologize right now. Come on. And they say, I'm sorry, you know, as I'm hitting them at the same time, or they're hitting each other at the same time, sending totally mixed messages. Children on their own will not say things like, brother, I have come to realize the error of my ways, and I want to confess that my behavior was inappropriate, and I ask for your forgiveness, and we can reconcile this relationship. That ain't gonna happen. Asking for forgiveness or forgiving somebody else is not natural, but it's necessary. In fact, it's critical. We have unearthed a lot of pain in this pandemic. We can pretend however we want. You may be listening, maybe feeling a little cocky, like, you know, maybe this is not that big of a deal. But most of the time, we're not paying attention. The pain is so obvious in some of the lives of this little town, especially here in Avalon. What we want to know is, how do we get free from that pain? If it's true that God heals, how does he heal? What is our role in the healing process? Well, let's walk through the steps that God has set up together. I specifically have personally gone through this and experienced this, and I will continue to go through this. And I'm right there with you guys as I read scripture and I watch Jesus and I watch his actions and reactions. You know, I look at my own and watch how he navigated things. My friends, we can't control this pain. If we could have, we would have. And so we can't do it on our own. I got to pray for God to soften and open my heart. To know God exists and that I matter to him. And maybe he will want to heal some of this pain in my life. It's everything, guys. It's so freeing. So whatever the world says or whatever people say in regards to getting healing, getting it out there for Jesus to work on, getting some counseling through his word, counseling with anybody else that's grounded in his word and with your spouse and with your loved ones, it's everything, guys. And my question is, could you step across that line and turn it over to God? Could we say, God, it's yours. I'm going to depend on you for healing. I'm going to move from the driver's seat to shotgun and let you have the driver's seat of my life. I turn over my life to you. Some of you have already done that. Some have not. If you haven't, you have to deal with your pain on your own. It's kind of messy. Looking under the hood, this is where we honestly examine and confess. We honestly look at our lives and say, what are the character defects in my life? What's broken in me? Why do I act this way? What do I resent? What's going on? And you confess it. Is God a means to an end, or the end itself? Said when you're facing a dead end, when you're living the world's way, you turn around and you embrace God's way. You say, God, all these things I listed in my life, would you now begin to change them in my life and direct me? Today, we are talking about how to do this with other people. It's all about forgiveness. Could we say, really, God, it's yours? And apologize. I mean, really apologize and really forgive. Offering forgiveness to those that have hurt us. And I will ask for forgiveness for any wrong I've done to others. Can you say that? So that on the journey that you're on to try to get healing from some of this pain, there's a hurdle that you got to go over. There's a hurdle in front of you and I. You cannot go around this hurdle. You've got to go through it. And to go through it, it's some relational difficulty. I need to ask for forgiveness from those who have hurt me and those that I have hurt. We've been looking at different things recently in Scripture together. One in particular caught my eye was in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Basically, it's the famous sermon series of Jesus where Jesus says some really quick things about happiness. And the word is translated, quote, blessed, but it really means happiness. Happy are those who work for peace. God blesses the peacemaker. Why would Jesus say that? Some of you listening think Jesus was this little, you know, possibly namsy-pamsy guy, you know, a little wimpier. Maybe you're listening in, you know nothing about him, never heard anything about him except his name used in vain, and you don't really understand who he was. You don't understand that God became flesh in the form of Jesus. He was a total radical. He said things that the world had never heard before. Jesus said, you've heard that the law of Moses, okay, what we now know as the Old Testament, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Then Jesus comes along and listen to these radical statements. But I say, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Why would Jesus say that? Love your enemy. Why would he say, happy are those who are peacemakers? Because Jesus, the God-man, knew this. You can't live life to its fullest with relational tension. It ain't going to happen. You can't live life to the way God intended life to be lived when you have relational difficulties, bitterness, anger, resentment, revenge living in your life because of what other people have done to you, including your spouse or including a very close relative or a sibling. He said, if you want to live life to the fullest, you've got to be a peacemaker. Do everything you can to live at peace with other people. If not, what happens is resentment builds up. If you bury resentment and bottle it up and stuff it down in your life, it's going to come out. It may not come out while you're still young. It may come out in the 10th year of your marriage, or maybe in situations like my case, your 30th year. Statistics are out of control with divorce rates during this quarantine right now. Certain countries are reporting as they're coming out of quarantine, online divorces and lawyers being hired, and after being forced to literally quarantine with their spouse and seeing what they're really like or really made of, they have decided to call it quits. I've even had personal challenges with resentment in the last week in regards to my wife and some things that I didn't even know I had buried there, but it kind of showed itself in some difficult changes going on throughout the week, and I was just in a bad place, not prayed up, very weak, exhausted, kind of even hot, so to speak, outside. And I literally remember things coming out of my mouth going, what was that? Well, God through a stacking of hands has allowed me to see, whoa, wait a minute here. I got to fix this. And I've got to do my part and allow God to do his. It's beautiful. And it's not painful. Not all the way through, it's not. It actually becomes freeing to know that this stuff needs to come out. But statistics are out of control with people who are just, you know, bottling it up and not handling it the right way. So why is it that half the marriages in this country break up? Quite frankly, it's because a lot of people are living with relational difficulties, and they think that if they go into another relationship, that will take care of it. But it doesn't work. God knew if you're going to live life to its fullest, you've got to do everything you can to live in harmony with other people. If I take a Coke can, and I love Coke, and I give it some pain, and just start banging around with it, shaking it like crazy, what happens if I go to open that can? You guys know, okay? And you'd have people ducking all around me. You know that what's inside is going to explode. And this is a great illustration of what's going on in so many lives, so many lives. At some point, if you're not healed of some of the pain you're going through, you'll build up resentment and bitterness and anger, and it's going to explode. And it's going to hurt your life. This has happened during my 30 years of marriage, so I'm speaking from experience. This can happen in your professional relationships and parenting, grandparenting, all of it. God says, I've got a better way. And really, this is what this message is all about. In this brief message I give, it's not to be able to help all your problems, okay? Life is not a TV sitcom like, you know, the problem, you know, Greg Brady threw a football through a window. There's tension. Now a commercial break. Now it's solved. And let's all sing and dance together if you were a Brady Bunch fan, you know. Life doesn't work like that. But I do know that if you're going to take this step, what I want to try to do is coach you as I have gone through these things personally and help you and show you what the Bible says about asking for forgiveness of people you've hurt and forgiving people who've hurt you so you can begin the healing process. And here's some action steps real quick today. Number one on my list is reveal the hurt. Just reveal it. You admit that you've been hurt by others and you have hurt others. It starts here. You reveal it. Yeah, I'm hurt. I've said to a lot of you before in our congregation, a lot of things like that. Are you angry at her or him? Or are you mad at your dad? And a lot of you have said, no, I love them. You can be angry and hurt people that you love. So you must reveal it. You admit that you've been hurt. If you don't reveal hurt, you're stuck with a bigger issue. My friends, it turns to revenge and resentment, especially while in quarantine. And I know some things are lifting, but still, there's restrictions still going on. And a lot of us have felt that restriction relationally as well. Some of you look at this point and say, reveal the hurt? No way. I want to revenge the hurt. I mean, isn't that the first thing we do when somebody hurts us in some way? We want revenge. You're in line at the grocery store at Vons and some person not paying attention or wearing a face mask walks in front and cuts you off right in the line. And you're thinking, revenge. How can I get even? How can I get back? When you revenge, when all you think about is revenge or resentment, the only person it hurts is you. You're filled with bitterness and worry, and you're upset and bothered. You know what's happening? They're out living their life, dancing, you know, nothing's wrong. But pain comes at you every day in unexpected ways. And if all you do is think about how can I get back at that person, you're going to be in a pile of mess. I remember this YouTube that I've showed in past youth group settings and whatnot that shows this young girl and her father out back on Christmas Day. She literally has a brand new, looks like a gerbil, you know, a little pet gerbil that she takes out of a cage. And she's so excited. It's Christmas. It's my gift. And out of nowhere, this hawk on video comes out of nowhere that had been eyeballing this moment and just swipes this thing right out of the girl's hands. I mean, it's gone. And she's standing there in tears. And it was shown on like America's Funniest Home Video, which was anything but funny. It was so scary and sad. What I'm saying is this, there's like a hawk, so to speak, at every corner. There literally is around every corner of your life pain that is watching and ready to hit and go. It's everywhere and it's coming. And if your first response is to revenge it, you're going to be in trouble. Revenge and resentment cannot change the past. It cannot correct the problem. It does not change the person. It doesn't even hurt the person. It only hurts you. I've never met anybody in my life. 30 years, so to speak, I've been talking to students and adults, and I've never met one person who said, I feel so much better because I'm filled with revenge. I'm filled with resentment towards all these people, and I'm really happy I've never met anyone like that. The Bible says in Job chapter 5, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Reveal the hurt. Yeah, that hurt me. That person hurt me. Be honest with it. Be specific. Yeah, that hurt me when that person embarrassed me in front of everyone on social media. Does that sound familiar for you, possibly, with all the social stuff going on? That hurt me when my parents told me I was a loser. Or maybe I was hurt when my parents split up. Or my fiance took off. I was hurt by my friend who basically ignores me now that she's got a boyfriend. Or I was hurt when my boyfriend dumped me after we had sex. Now that we're quarantined, nobody ever checks up on me or calls. These are ways that people are hurt that seem so apparent these days. But there's a flip side to hurt. That is that you've hurt other people too. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, quote, "Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you say, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye?" Do you see the humor? Jesus was being funny. He's saying, you're always pointing to other people. Hey, look at the speck in your own eye. When you have a telephone pole sticking out of your eye, you go look at the speck and the log in your own eye. Basically, you know, like smacks the guy with this comment. It's amazing. Reveal the hurt. I am hurt. Don't be afraid to say that. That's the first part of healing. Number two I have written down in my notes here is live God's model of forgiveness. Live God's model. God's given us a model of forgiveness, and we're trying to recreate it. If you took your woundedness, your brokenness, your bitterness, your anger, and you go grab some Katie's Kitchen and sit at a table in the Metropole with God, you know what he'd probably describe for you? Forgiveness. Some of you who are living the world's way, you need to totally be forgiven. Just let it go and accept God's forgiveness. Accept his forgiveness of you. One of the mysteries of the Christian faith is that God forgives you when you confess, "God, would you forgive me of this?" Your motive is pure and right. God, I want to be forgiven. Would you restore me to you? That's really what a relationship with God is. God, I've blown it. I want to be forgiven. Would you wipe my slate clean? My friends, forgiveness is from God. Boy, have I felt it this week. It's been so good. I was looking at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he's just and he will forgive our sins and will cleanse us. We've talked about this before. Forgiveness is total. It's complete. His forgiveness is instant. It's forever. People who have been forgiven find it easier to forgive other people. What else about God's model? How about forgiveness of yourself? Some of you need to forgive yourself. God's already forgiven you. Now you need to forgive yourself. You're killing yourself. You can't get over it. You need to forgive yourself. Then you need to forgive others. This is the big one. Matthew 6. I wish I could leave this part of the Bible out. I really do. It'd make you feel happier. But I can't because it's what the Bible says. It says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you. God's forgiveness of us is tied directly to our forgiveness of other people. Until you can learn to forgive, God holds his forgiveness back. I wish it wasn't that way. But God wants us to live in harmony and peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And if you can't forgive others, God's forgiveness isn't there. Also, this may sound kind of crazy, but some of you may need to forgive God. You don't really need to forgive God, because God is perfect. He can't and doesn't sin. His very nature is perfect, holiness in every way. God's perfect in his love and his mercy and his grace, but you release God from misplaced blame. Some of us blame God for our pain, maybe for causing this pandemic. Some people have said they were physically abused and sexually abused. How many have said even these words, God, it's your fault. If you've had something awful happen to you like that, I'm so sorry. And I would love to help you get healing. But it wasn't God's fault. It was not God's will that you were abused and some of these things happened. It was not God's will. And when you really understand perfect love, God's love, it says this, I love you so much that I'm going to give you free choice. I'm not going to make you a puppet like God's a great puppeteer and moves us through life and orders every move. He says, no, I love you so much, I'm going to give you free choice. In a world where things are changing almost daily, we have free choice. And bad things happen. And if those people who purchased way more toilet paper than they should have were living God's way, they would not have done what they did, but they were living the world's way. All kidding aside, with today's world economy basically shut down, people are trying to meet their needs and get their life filled in some other way. Many, very selfishly. Some of you need to release God from that misplaced blame. That was number two. Number three is remember the offense. Remember the offense. This is why I challenge you to make a list. Make a list of those you've harmed and those you've been hurt by. It's easier to make a list of those who have hurt you, but also make a list of those you've harmed. I owe amends to. By the way, amends is a word that if I was teaching junior high like my wife does, I would not use this word. Okay, this is a high school or adult word. Amends means to put together, to bring peace. Amends is more than an apology. An apology says, I'm sorry. Amends says, I'm sorry, and I'm changing my behavior. I want to make it right if I owe you anything. True amends says, if I owe you or that person something, if I stole from them, you'd pay it back. My friends, if you've hurt someone's reputation, you would do whatever it took to restore that. If during this quarantine you were accusatory, critical, rude, and just downright ugly to someone on social media, specifically one of our Catalina social media groups, it is time to make amends and stop the cyber bullying garbage that is tearing folks in our town apart. It is time, past time, to ask for forgiveness and to forgive. No better time than right now to ask for forgiveness and to forgive. And I realize some of you say, I can't think of anything I've done to harm somebody. But let me trigger your memory. Is there anyone you stole from or stolen an idea from? Is there anyone you broke a promise to? Is there anyone here in Avalon you're too critical of? Is there anyone here in Avalon you verbally abused or accused? Is there anyone you've been unfaithful to? Is there anybody you've lied to? Is there a time where you took your dog out for a walk and you didn't pick up the poop and you remember the offense? I do. Those you've harmed, those you need to forgive. Number three in my notes is desire God's help. Desire God's help. Some of you listening with this whole message, you've already checked out, and some of you are saying, no, too tough. I can't forgive that person. This is too tough for me. I realized you've checked out, but that at this point, you request God's help and pray for a willing heart, okay? The want to. And courage also, not fear, to make amends with those you've hurt and to offer forgiveness to those who've hurt you. Pray for the courage and the willing desire. If God's already forgiven me, why do I need to bring it up again? Some of you ask. Why drag up the past? Because making amends isn't about your past. It's about your future and living with peace. Josh Garrels, in that first song I played opening up, said, I've got peace like a river in my soul. Man, that's where it comes from and where it goes down deep too. And offering forgiveness to those who've hurt you. God, would you help me forgive that person? It says such depth and such healing and such restoration that's going on deep in your soul. And some of you immediately go, no way, no way, I can't. A few years ago, a man in Northern California got into a fender bender. The lady runs into this dude and they pull over. The guy was so angry, he gets out of the car and starts yelling at the lady. She rolls down her window and he looks in and sees she's got a little dog on her lap. He reaches in, grabs the dog, and throws it into traffic. It was a 10-year-old dog named Leo. Oh my gosh, this guy lost it. The dog was killed. Then the dude gets into the car and takes off. There's an article that comes out in the paper later and said $40,000 reward for capture of a dog killer. Let's say this lady is listening right now online and hearing this message. I'm saying, you want healing, you've got to forgive. She's saying, no way. You probably don't even like dogs. It's easy for you to say. For her, it might be too new or too fresh. Here's the problem. Some of you listening are more concerned about that dog right now than you are about your life. Some of you are more concerned about the little dog than healing your whole life. But this lady, if at some point in her life she doesn't stop and forgive that guy and release that anger and hurt and bitterness, it's going to do to her what happened to her little dog. It's going to kill her. Every time she sees a dog, she's going to think of little Leo, and that anger is going to come up. Every time she sees a fender bender, that anger is going to come up. At some point, she's got to forgive that guy, and it's not going to be easy. That's where she's going to have to say, God, would you help me? Would you help me with the want to and the courage to do this? For those of you listening who have had some major offense happen, there's some deep pain there. Don't take this lightly, like this is an easy thing to do. You've got to request God's help. God has a goal for your health. Romans 12 says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do your part to live at peace with everyone as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. Instead, do what the scripture says. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink, and they will be ashamed of what they've done to you. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. That's Romans 12. If you want to get over that relational hurdle, you've got to request God's help. All right, we move on to number 5, and that is restore the past. Restore the past. You've got to heal the past so God can transform the present. Go make amends to the people that you've hurt. Direct to, you know, face-to-face amends. 6 feet if needed. Wear your mask and gloves, okay? And say to them, I ask for your forgiveness for, and be specific, and for anything else I may have done to you through my words or actions. I was, okay, and you take responsibility for it, angry when I hurt you, and I'm sorry, and I'm trying to change. That's the amends. Direct amends is face-to-face. Indirect amends, maybe some of you need to write a letter. Maybe it's a distance thing, and you can't get to that person. The exceptions of face-to-face is when it's going to harm them. If you've done something so harmful to them, take responsibility. No blaming, like, I did this because you did this to me, you know, or my parents are alcoholics. No, no, no. Take responsibility for it and don't blame. Send them a non-public email or message response if needed. Then offer forgiveness to those that have hurt you. Peter, the guy who hung around with Jesus, said, how often are we supposed to forgive people? 7 times? He thought he was being gracious by saying that. Jesus said, no. 7 times 70. Jesus' point was, you've got to continually forgive people. You've got to stop holding on to that hurt. Some of you, don't wait for people to come and ask for your forgiveness. You do it whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Your forgiving them is not for their sake, but for your sake. Why? Because God has forgiven you, and you'll need forgiveness in the future. And because resentment doesn't work, it makes you miserable. Release the offender and forgive them for your sake. Keep the expectations minimal. When you say to somebody, hey, I forgive you, it doesn't mean you have to do this face-to-face sometimes. It doesn't mean you have to be friends with them and have them over for dinner again. Some of you may want to set, you know, possibly an empty chair there and pretend that person is there and tell them you forgive them. That actually works. How about write them a letter? Release them so you can be released. When you've forgiven them, you're not saying that what they did is okay. You're doing this to free the pain from you. It's okay if they feel pain from your forgiveness. That's their problem, not yours. The Bible says, pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. If you want to be like Christ, you forgive. That's the greatest act of love. In conclusion, number 6 is you experience God's peace. My friends, when you go through these 5 things, and I have, especially in the last few days, it's so beautiful, you experience His peace. God wants you and I to live in peace. God wants you to have peace. I told you, this is not like a 30-minute sitcom where we stir up a pain and, you know, it'll be resolved in 30 minutes. Jesus said, quote, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't like the peace the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid, end quote. I realize a lot of you in here listening to this right now might have some stuff you want to talk about. I encourage you that if you have the kind of parents that you can talk to, or grandparents to talk to, or a counselor, or someone that's involved in our ministry, or a small group leader, great. If you need somebody to talk to, there's a lot of people that put this together, including myself, that love you and want to talk to you. One last thought. You'll never have to forgive anyone more than God has had to forgive you. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. I know that there's a lot of pain being experienced by those that are listening today. And God, when we can't forgive others or ask for forgiveness, we have the relational hurdle that keeps us from living life to its fullest. Would you give us the courage to ask for forgiveness from people we've hurt and forgive those who've hurt us? Thank you, God, for your love. And thank you that you'll be with us every step of the way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening today.
I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. Greater than the sands by the sea.
Thanks again for joining us this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you all. Have a great day and great week.